Broadcasting across the United States, Canada, and around the world, this is the Bible Answer Man broadcast. Your host for the program is Hank Hanegraaff, president of the Christian Research Institute. We're on the air because life and truth matter. For more information, call 888-7000-CRI or go online to equip.org. To start today's Bible Answer Man broadcast, here's your host, Hank Hanegraaff.
Well, thank you very much, Randy, and welcome to a special teaching edition of the Bible Answer Man broadcast. I won't be taking any calls today, but do remember the resources that we talk about on the broadcast you can find on the web at equip.org. Of course, you can also write me at Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip code 28271. One of the resources that we're featuring at present is my new book, Truth Matters, Life Matters More, The Unexpected Beauty of an Authentic Christian Life. Probably a lot of you already have the book. I hope you're working your way through the book, but it is now also available on CD as well as MP3. So check it out on the web at equip.org. Again, when you receive the resources through the ministry of the Christian Research Institute for your donations, it empowers us to do the work of the Lord around the world. And that work is multifaceted, including our podcasts. I hope you're enjoying the podcast. If you are, be sure to subscribe. So many people enjoy listening on YouTube, so if you're an avid YouTube user, be sure to subscribe to the Bible Answer Man YouTube channel for episodes of not only the Hank Unplugged podcast, but other great content from the Ministry of the Christian Research Institute. I've been in the process of doing a flurry of videos. Some of those videos deal with spiritual formation. Check them out on our Bible Answer Man YouTube channel. And again, your support is deeply appreciated, much needed, particularly in this time of the year. But I call this a special teaching edition of the Bible Answer Man broadcast because I want to focus in on a spiritual formation that we call prayer. And it's so easy to tune me out the moment I say prayer because you think, you know what? I know about prayer, I pray. But I think oftentimes we don't have a pattern for praying. We don't have a process for praying. So we rush into God's presence before our knees even hit the ground. We're already rushing into our frenzied lifestyle. Another way of putting that is we oftentimes treat God no better than we treat our wife or children or our most treasured friendships. But that ought to change. And one of the ways in which to make that change is to start to recognize the poignancy and profundity of the words that the Lord Jesus taught his disciples to pray. A prayer that's deftly divided into two parts. The first part has to do with God's glory. The second part has to do with our needs. I talked about that in yesterday's broadcast, sort of introducing what I was going to be doing on today's broadcast. And today I want to start, without any further ado, to talk about what it means to say, Our Father in Heaven. Of course, the first few words of the prayer that the Lord taught his disciples to pray, Our Father in Heaven. Now, to the disciples, that phrase must have been, well, almost scandalous. Imagine calling God our Father. They weren't even permitted to say the name of the one who dwells in unapproachable light. And now? Well, now Jesus is telling them to refer to him as Father. There was, of course, a catch. And the Apostle John explained that catch because only those who receive Jesus, only those who believe on his name, have the right to call God Father. In one sense, Jesus is the only one who can legitimately say, "Our Father," because he's uniquely God by nature. But the Apostle Paul explains in Romans chapter 8 that we who are led by the Spirit of God aren't illegitimate. We're actual members of God's family by grace. In fact, we might well say that by grace, we are becoming what God is by nature. We can never attain to the essence of God, but we can experience the energies of God. And prayer allows us to do that very thing. Therefore, we who have received the Spirit of adoption, as the Bible would put it, can cry out, "Abba, Father." We are God's children. And as Paul said, if we are God's children, then we are heirs. We are heirs of God. We are, in fact, co-heirs with Jesus Christ. Now, if we are children and we are heirs, we can thank our Father in heaven that while he is beyond our comprehension, he's granted us the privilege to call him Father. And again, not only my Father, but our Father. We pray in plural because by his grace, I'm not a Lone Ranger Christian. I'm a member of the Father's family. I'm a living stone in the spiritual house of which our Lord Jesus Christ is head. So we start out praying, "Our Father in heaven." And we proceed with the words, "Hallowed be your name." To say those words is to put emphasis exactly where emphasis belongs. Your, my daily life should radiate a far greater commitment to the nature of God and the holiness of God than even our own personal needs. That's why supplication is usually at the end of my prayers. To pray, "Hallowed be your name." Well, what is that? It's to ask our Heavenly Father that he might be given the unique reverence that his holiness demands, that his word be preached without corruption, that our churches be led by faithful pastors and priests and preserved from all false prophets, that we are kept from language that profanes his very holiness, that our thought lives are pure, that we cease from seeking honor for ourselves and instead seek for his name to be glorified. As Saint Augustine has so well said, this is prayed for not as if the name of God were not already holy, but that it may be held holy amongst men, that God may so become known to men that they shall reckon nothing more holy and which they are more afraid of offending. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. May I, dear Lord, be used to make your name holy among the nations, instead of reviling the name of the Lord. May people that see me, that view me, feel instead willing to reverence the name of our Father who is in heaven. When we come back from the break, I want to talk about the next phrase, "Your kingdom come." This is the next thing that we're praying in the prayer, and that has immense ramifications. They're not just words we mouth, but those words are transformative, when they become part of the warp and woof of not only a tradition, but a manner of prayer. Not just any prayer, but the prayer that Jesus taught his disciples to pray. Again, I write about this in my book, Truth Matters, Life Matters More, The Unexpected Beauty of an Authentic Christian Life. If you want to become like Christ, you have to emulate Christ. A good football coach, said Tom Landry, makes men do what they wouldn't ordinarily do so that they might become what they've always wanted to be. In our case, that is to be like Christ. Remember, this is a ministry supported by listeners just like you. You can give in a safe, secure fashion on the web at equip.org. You can also write me at Post Office Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip code 28271. We'll be right back with an explication of what it means to pray, Your Kingdom Come.
Truth Matters, Life Matters More details Hank Hanegraaff's personal pilgrimage from his defense of truth to his discovery that life matters more. Why does life matter more? Read Truth Matters, Life Matters More today to find out and experience for yourself the unexpected beauty of an authentic Christian life. To receive a copy of Truth Matters, Life Matters More for yourself or as a terrific gift to a friend or loved one, simply call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to the life-changing work of the Christian Research Institute. That's 888-7000-CRI. Or go online to equip.org. Don't go anywhere. We're coming right back with more answers from the Bible Answer Man.
Unless the Lord returns in our lifetime, we will die. But most of us live as if death does not exist. Simply put, we don't know how to die well. Rob Mall wrote, The Art of Dying, to recover the deeply Christian practice of dying well. For centuries, Christians have prepared for the good death with spiritual disciplines that direct the actions of both the living and the dying. The Art of Dying is a gentle companion for all who face death, whether one's own or that of a loved one. As Christians, we know that death is not the end. Thus, preparing to die helps us to truly live. To receive your copy of The Art of Dying, Living Fully into the Life to Come, call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support the Christian Research Institute's life-changing outreaches, 888-7000-CRI, or visit us at equip.org.
The Christian Research Journal is CRI's award-winning magazine, combining eye-catching design with well-researched articles to equip believers in doctrine, defense, and discernment. The Christian Research Journal's primary commitment is to contend earnestly for the faith that was once for all delivered to the saints. In keeping with this commitment, the journal's mission is both evangelistic and pastoral, furthering the proclamation and defense of the historic gospel of Jesus Christ, and helping his followers distinguish between essential Christian doctrine and doctrine that is peripheral, aberrant, or heretical. In an age of subjectivism and moral relativism, may Christians ground their faith and values in the objective, reliable testimony of Holy Scripture. Start your subscription to the Christian Research Journal today. Call 888-7000-CRI or go online to equip.org. That's equip.org.
For decades, Hank Hanegraaff has shared the truth of the historic Christian faith by answering questions over the radio, defending the faith through the written word, and preaching from pulpits around the globe. Today, he is ready to share his life in Christ, as detailed in his most profoundly personal piece of penmanship to date, Truth Matters, Life Matters More. Hank feels closer to Christ than ever before and wants you to learn from his experiences as recounted in Truth Matters, Life Matters More, so that you can join him on life's greatest journey, the journey toward union with God in Christ. To receive your copy of Truth Matters, Life Matters More, The Unexpected Beauty of an Authentic Christian Life, call 888-7000-CRI. And make a gift to support the Christian Research Institute's life-changing outreaches, 888-7000-CRI, or visit us at equip.org.
Now back to the Bible Answer Man broadcast and your host, Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you very much, Randy. We're talking about spiritual formation. Prayer is the heart of spiritual formation. Before I get back to that, I want to mention a book, a resource that is available for those who support the ministry of the Christian Research Institute. Check it out on the web at equip.org. It is titled, The Art of Dying, Living Fully into the Life to Come. I love this book. It is one of the books that I read as I was going through my period of convalescence, I guess you would call it, where I was in, quarantine, I guess. I was in isolation, couldn't be around people. And that was something that went on for about 100 days after my transplant. I'm out of that period right now. But I read that book during that period of isolation from other people. And there are so many incredible quotes in that book. One that really struck me was a quote by Saint Isaac the Syrian, who said, "Prepare your heart for your departure. If you are wise, you will expect it every hour. And when the time of departure comes, go joyfully to meet it, saying, 'Come in peace, I knew you would come, and I have not neglected anything that could help me on the journey.'" Well, it's interesting that this book was written by Rob Mole. Rob Mole died this summer, July 19th, one day after my birthday. Rob Mole died. He was writing about the art of dying, little knowing that as a young man he would soon face what it meant to transition from this life to life in the presence of God and in the presence of the saints that have gone on before us. I was so touched reading this book because, as many of you know, I almost slipped into death myself on June 25th, about a month before Rob died. And I can honestly say that I was ready to die. I was completely at peace with the very notion of dying. But many people are not. When you think about it, there's a rather humorous, I suppose, in a sad way, quote in the book about a funeral director in Wheaton, Illinois, who said that the most common Bible verse families print on funeral bulletins or have read during their funeral services is 2 Timothy 4:7, which quotes Paul as saying, "I have fought the good fight," except the director says they're not talking about spiritual things. They mean this person tried every medical option they could to stay alive. Well, there's a sense in which that makes sense. We try every medical option to stay alive, but it should be for the right reasons. Our life ought to be constituted as a life that is well lived. So every moment that we have on this earth ought to be to bring glory to God, to extend His kingdom, to go from creation to deification, to experience union with God within the context of the body of Christ. Well, that book available on the web at equip.org, but to become godlike, to experience union with God, is first and foremost experienced through prayer. That's what I started talking about in the first segment of this broadcast. We pray, "Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come." Now, why do we pray, "Thy kingdom come"? Why did the Lord teach us to pray those specific words? Well, in teaching us to pray, "Your kingdom come," Jesus is teaching us to petition our Heavenly Father to expand His rule over the territory of our hearts. That's a big deal. He's calling us to renounce our deal with the devil, to pledge our allegiance to expand His kingdom, not our own. So when we pray, "Your kingdom come," we are praying that God would use our witness for the expansion of His kingdom C.S. Lewis was so right on when he said, this world is enemy-occupied territory, and Christianity is a story of how the rightful king has landed, you might say landed in disguise. He's calling all of us to take part in a great campaign of sabotage. Of course, Christ has already won the war, but the reality of his reign is not yet completely realized. So we find ourselves at present sandwiched between the triumph of the cross and the termination of time. You might say between D-Day and V-Day. What do I mean? Well, D-Day was the first coming of Christ. That's when the enemy was decisively defeated. V-Day is the second coming of Christ. That's when the enemy will be totally and finally called to surrender. And in the meantime, history is hurtling towards a climactic end when the kingdoms of this world will become the kingdoms of our Lord. So we pray, Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come. And then we utter the words, thy will be done. What's Jesus driving at when he teaches his disciples to pray, thy will be done? Well, he's focusing their attention, and vicariously your attention, on the sovereign wisdom of our Father who is in heaven. We, in and of ourselves, don't know how to reconcile all the converging factors of daily life. And we might thank God that this world is under his control and not your control. Because one of the most comforting thoughts that can penetrate a human mind yielded to the will of God is that he who has created us also knows precisely what is best for us. If we walk according to his will, rather than, as so many people are doing today, commanding him according to their own wills, well, we will have not a panacea, but we will have peace in the midst of the storm. But you know how many people in the Christian world today are commanding God according to their own wills? They're telling God what to do, as it were. They're acting vicariously as sovereigns of the universe. That's a completely upside-down version of praying, your will be done. In fact, there are so many people in the Christian church now saying we should never let those words flutter from our lips, because those are not words of faith, those are words of fear. The truth is, in the yielded life, there is great peace in knowing that the one who taught us to pray, thy will be done, has every detail of our lives under his sovereign control. And we can rest assured that even in sickness and tragedy, everything works together for good to those who love God and are the called according to his purposes. God is not going to spare us from trial and tribulation. He is going to use the difficulties of life to purge the impurities from our beings. This is one of the things that we find out over and over again when it is the Lord's will that is done. If we pray, Lord, I want to do this and that, if it is your will, we are praying in a biblical manner, very much like Jesus Christ prayed in the Garden of Gethsemane. Imagine that. Nevertheless, not my will, but thy will be done. We should always append our prayers with those words. They're not faithless words, they're faithful words. Charles Haddon Spurgeon was severely afflicted with gout. He had excruciating pain, and he wrote something that I've quoted often. Were you ever in the melting pot? I've been there with my sermons. The result of melting is that we get a true valuation of things, and then we're poured out into new and better fashion. And therefore, we may almost wish for the melting pot. We might get rid of the dross if we may but be pure and fashioned completely like unto our Lord. Your will be done. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done. Future editions of the Bible Answer Man broadcast. I want to continue as we talk about the significance of every word our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ taught us to pray. We're out of time for this teaching edition of the Bible Answer Man broadcast. Do remember, Monday through Friday at this time, you can listen to the broadcast on the web at equip.org, on radio stations, and wherever the Bible Answer Man broadcast is heard. Tomorrow, part two of the teaching series, and then Thursday, we'll go back to your questions. So long for now.
Thanks for joining us for the Bible Answer Man broadcast with Hank Hanegraaff. Our daily commitment here at CRI is to defend the faith once for all delivered to the saints and equip believers to become true disciples of Jesus Christ. If you'd like to order resources or listen to the broadcast online, visit our website at equip.org. That's equip.org. Or call a resource consultant at 888-7000-274. Of course, you can write to CRI at Post Office Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip code 28271. The Bible Answer Man broadcast is supported solely by listeners like you. We're on the air because life and truth matter.
Unless the Lord returns in our lifetime, we will die. But most of us live as if death does not exist. Simply put, we don't know how to die well. Rob Mall wrote, The Art of Dying, to recover the deeply Christian practice of dying well. For centuries, Christians have prepared for the good death with spiritual disciplines that direct the actions of both the living and the dying. The Art of Dying is a gentle companion for all who face death, whether one's own or that of a loved one. As Christians, we know that death is not the end. Thus, preparing to die helps us to truly live. To receive your copy of The Art of Dying, Living Fully into the Life to Come, call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support the Christian Research Institute's life-changing outreaches, 888-7000-CRI, or visit us at equip.org.